Hare Krishna. Welcome again to our Sunday evening festivities. We're going to be reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is tonight from the 11th chapter. This is text number 55. It's a very interesting text. Mat karmakrin mat parama mat bhakta sangavarjitaha nirvaira sarvabhuteshu ya samam eti pandava. Oh, one thing before we begin. If any of you have cell phones, can you please turn it off? Appreciate it. So this is the translation. My dear Arjun, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, certainly comes to me. Purport and commentary. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, must take this formula, as stated by the Supreme Lord Himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke 575 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is considered to be the essence of all the verses that He spoke. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over material nature and who do not know of the real spiritual life. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. So maybe we'll stop there and I'll maybe continue on. Omigyana tamarandasya gyananjana salakya chakshu malitam jena tasmai shri gurave nama mukham kroti vachalam pangun lang hai te yat kripataraham vande shri gurum dhinatarana vanchikapatribhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam bhavanevya vaishnavebhyo namo nama jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita kadadhar sivasati gaur bhaktavinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first thing that Krishna mentions here is mat karma krin. That one who engages in my devotional service or who works for me. And one might ask, well, why do we have to work for God? I mean, isn't he satisfied? Does he need us to work for him? No, he doesn't, actually. He's God. He's called Atmarama, completely self-satisfied. But for our benefit, we should work for him. And a good reason to work for Krishna is because he's doing so much for us. Just like we're all eating every day, we get so many nice fruits and vegetables that we're honoring. So this is all coming from God. He's the source of everything, the cause of all causes. There's a saying that he gives and he gives and he gives and he forgives. And we get and we get and we get and we forget. Yeah. So this is the problem, that we are getting so much from God, but then we forget who it's coming from. So it's important that we remember this. And then we will want to work for him. Another good reason is that he is the father. God is the father of everyone. worthy sons and daughters of God. So it's good to have this mood of acting for the pleasure of God. Yeah. Not only is he pleased by this, but we also become pleased by engaging in selfless service, working for Krishna. Generally, when people work, there's some motive behind it, some selfish motive. It's like in this world, everybody, they have jobs. Not everybody, but a lot of people have jobs. And they're working, why? To get money. It's not that they're working out of love for their boss. Yeah. As soon as the boss doesn't pay money, then there's no more work. He's working because he's getting some money for it. But in Krishna consciousness, the goal is to work just for the pleasure of Krishna, just to please God. This is what gives pleasure to the soul, the selfless service. And this is actually the mood in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. Everybody is engaged in this selfless service to God. And we're very fortunate that we have this human form of life. There's 8,400,000 different species of life. So just to have the human form of life is a great boon. It gives us an opportunity to understand God and to work for Him. And in this human form of life, there's about 7 billion people on the planet. But how many of them are earnestly trying to understand the relationship with God and work for God, act for God? Very few. So we're very fortunate that we're inquiring, that we're trying to understand God and work for God, act for God, because the result will be great for ourselves. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nirdeham Adyanga Sulabhang Sadolabham Plavam Sukhapam Guru Karadharam, that this human form of life is a very great boon. It's like it's compared to a boat that can cross this vast ocean of material existence. And the spiritual master is considered to be the captain of this boat. And the favorable winds that help us across this ocean are compared to the Vedic literatures. These are the Vedic literatures, for those of you who don't know. So we're very fortunate. But on this boat, just like nowadays, there's these modern pirates, maybe some of you have heard about, in the oceans now, the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean, they have these modern pirates. They get on these big ships and they hijack them. So we also sometimes will find that we have pirates on this ship trying to lead us astray. And what are those pirates? 6 of them. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. So these pirates, they cause problems in our attempt to reach the highest goal, which is love of God. So these pirates are actually within us. We're permeated by these pirates. They're within the heart, this lust and greed, anger, envy. So what to do? The only way to get free of these pirates that have already entered the ship is to also go within. So by hearing the names of God, this Hare Krishna mantra that you've been hearing, and reading Bhagavad Gita, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, this goes within and it purifies the heart. It purifies the mind so that we can continue on in this journey back to Godhead. But if we allow these pirates to continue on in our existence, then it'll be very difficult for us to attain ultimate happiness, which is what we're all searching for. The soul is pleasure-seeking. All souls, we're all searching for pleasure. But the highest pleasure is in devotional service, service to God. This verse that I just mentioned to you goes on to say that those who don't take advantage of this human form of life by engaging in the devotional service of God are considered to be killers of their own self. Now, to kill someone or to kill oneself, this is very inauspicious. Or to cause harm to anyone or to ourselves is very inauspicious. There's a problem there, right? Due to envy. If someone envies someone, I'll tell you an interesting, sad story that I read some years ago, just to give you an idea of how this envy works. Envy means that someone has something that you don't have and you want it. So there was these two girls who had some attraction to a man, and they were both trying to get this man. A little competition there. So they went on a parachuting excursion. So one of the girls decided to make it easy. She would fix the parachute of the other lady so that when they jump, it didn't open. And that's what happened. All three of them jumped, and one of them didn't open. She died. So this is envy. Someone sees someone, something that they want, and maybe she had a little bit of a head, a little above her on catching this man, so she just to knock out the competition. So this is envy. Now on the other side, if you love someone, then you're always thinking of how to please that person. Right? Natural. If you love someone, you want to do whatever you know will please that person. Right? So this is natural. So in order for us to advance in Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness, first, we have to love ourselves. Now first, to do that, we have to know who we are. We're not the body. We're the soul within. This body that you're looking at, actually, believe it or not, it's dead. It appears to be alive because I, the soul, am within the body. But as soon as I leave this body, I, the soul, leave this body, then you'll see the real nature of this body, that it's dead. And all of these bodies, actually, they're all dead. But because the soul is there, it appears like it's alive. It's like, I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a son, maybe in his 20s, late 20s, and his father dies. He had affection for his father, and he's lamenting, "Oh, father, why have you gone? Why have you left?" He's lamenting. He's missing his father's association. The body is right there. Now, everything he's seen throughout his life is right there. But he's saying, "Father, why have you gone? Why have you left me?" Because throughout his life, he never actually saw his father. He was just seeing the covering of the soul. So that's what this body is. It's a covering of who we really are. This is self-realization. And this devotional service to God, it begins when we're self-realized. So this process of Krishna consciousness, this hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing the Vedic literatures, chanting Hare Krishna. This is to help us become self-realized. Yeah. So that we fully understand that we're the soul within the body. Then we can work very nicely for Krishna. And then this love for Krishna can come out. Actually, this love for Krishna, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kavanoi, it's there in the hearts of all of us. It's there in the hearts of all living entities. Now, this process of Krishna consciousness is meant to arouse, to bring out that Krishna consciousness. And when it comes out, this natural love for Krishna will be there. And then we'll want to do whatever we know is pleasing to Krishna. Now one may ask, well, how do we know what's pleasing to God? Therefore he comes. Krishna comes and he explains what is pleasing to him. Manmana bhava mad bhakto majhaji mam namaskaru mama vivyasi satyante pratijane priyosi me. So he explains here what pleases him. We all have to think of something, right? So he says, you think of me. It's like if you approach a friend and your friend says, oh, you know, I was just thinking of you. It kind of touches the heart, you know? Your dear friend is just thinking of you. And you hope, well, I hope it's in a good way. So there's actually people that think of God, but in a negative way. How to kill God. To stop God consciousness. There's a whole group of people in the atheist society. They're trying to take this in God we trust off the currency in America. So they're also thinking of God. How to get God off our currency. But this is not a good way to think of God. No, we should think in a favorable way. How to please God. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is a way to think of God. These are names of God. Krishna means the all-attractive one. The most attractive person. So what are the attractive features of God? Well, they're described that there's six. Beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, and knowledge. So these are ways to think of God. God is very beautiful. Sometimes we hear or see depictions of God that he's very old. He got a beard and wrinkled maybe. Might need a cane to walk with. No. God is very, very beautiful. And therefore you see these pictures of Krishna. Very attractive. God is the most beautiful person. No one else even compares to the beauty of God. He's very knowledgeable, just like we have this Bhagavad Gita here. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. And still it's being studied all over the world. It's practically translated into all the languages of the world. Generally, when someone writes a book, even if it's a bestseller, maybe it'll be popular for a few years. And then, history. Or maybe if it's really good, maybe a couple hundred years, it'll be known. But here we have a book. Krishna spoke off the top of his head in about an hour and 20 minutes, the Bhagavad Gita. It's not that he had to sit down and really study and, you know, think about what he's going to say because, you know, it's got to be good, you know, so I got to, you know. He didn't have to think a long time about it. Just off the top of his head, Bhagavad Gita spoke it. And throughout the world, people are gaining so much wisdom from this hearing of Bhagavad Gita. So to remember God is very knowledgeable, is very beautiful, he's very strong also. Very powerful. He's known as Satya Sankalpa, that whatever he wants, it happens. Very powerful. So if we act in a way that is pleasing to God, and again in this verse he says, always think of me, become my devotee. If we become his devotee, he's very pleased. There's so many people that are devotees of other people and other movements. He says, you become my devotee, then I'm pleased. So a devotee means that he's devoted to serving God. So to chant his names, to hear about him, this is a very great service. If we read Bhagavad Gita, we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we have many, 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 many books. If you read these books, God is very pleased. And he's so pleased by this reading, he says, there's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that anybody that hears this message and simply relishes this message, then I cleanse the dirt within his heart. If you just read Bhagavad Gita, you read these books, and you just relish it, you just appreciate it, then God is so pleased by that, that he cleanses your heart. That's nice, isn't it? So this is God. He's very kind. He's the most kind. All you have to do is hear nicely. Also, if you hear the names of God nicely, you relish these names, then Krishna is very pleased. He purifies the heart. So always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Again, so many people are being worshipped nowadays. There's rock stars and movie stars. So many people are being worshipped. But if we worship God, then he's very pleased. Excuse me. I got a little throat problem. So, if we please God, then he gives himself to us. One great devotee, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he said, many people, they want to see God. He said, but actually we should act in such a way that God wants to see us. That's a nice mentality. Not that we demand to see God. We will never see God that way. We have to act in such a way that God wants to see us. I'll give you an interesting example in this regard. Back in the 80s, there was one gentleman who was campaigning, who was trying to be president of the United States. His name was Mr. Reagan. And, of course, many people were trying to be president along with him. And others were campaigning to have him become president. Now, this incident that I'm telling you about, this happened in Gainesville, Florida. In Gainesville, Florida, we have a very nice temple. And every Friday night, devotees would gather together and they would go to the campus of the University of Florida. And they would chant Hare Krishna together, loudly, to broadcast the names of Krishna. This is also very pleasing to Krishna, to go out and spread his name, spread his glories. I also do this. I go out and I distribute Prabhupada's books, trying to spread the glories of Krishna. So these devotees were on this corner, maybe about 20 of them. And they were chanting Hare Krishna, and they were playing drums, and very jovial, nice mood, very beautiful. So there was one gentleman that was campaigning for Reagan to be president. So he drove by this Harinam, these devotees chanting near the university there. And he thought, wow, look at these people, and those so enthusiastic. So he pulled over his car and he got his sign. And the sign said, vote for Reagan. Big sign. So he jumped right in the middle of where the devotees were chanting. And he had his sign. He was jumping. He was dancing with the devotees. Yeah. Vote for Reagan. And the people were driving by. Oh, I didn't know the Hare Krishnas are voting for Reagan. Yeah. So then one newspaper reporter, he saw that. Hey, look at that. The Hare Krishnas are voting for Reagan. Yeah. So he pulled over his car. And he got out of his camera. And he took a big picture. And it was the first It was on the front page the next day of the Hare Krishnas and this sign. And that picture won the picture of the year in Florida. Must have been a really good picture. So a few days later, Reagan became president. Right? Krishna's mercy, right? So then a few days later, somehow, someone found this picture and they brought it to the president and they put it on his desk. And when he saw that picture, he thought, wow, look at that. That's a beautiful picture. And he told his Secret Service men, go down to Florida, go down to Gainesville, find this guy, fly him up here. I want to have lunch with him. So generally, to have lunch with the President of the United States is not an easy thing. You know. But this guy pleased the President. You know. So he got the mercy of the President. You know. So they went down there, and they found the guy. And they flew him up, and he had lunch with the President. Because he pleased him. Now, if someone wants to have lunch with the President, if you're a big guy, like you're a president of another country or a king or something, you can have lunch with him, right? But if you're a small guy, you got to really, you know, you got to be submissive. You got to really do something nice. You know? So similarly, we're all very small. We're very insignificant. We're small spirit souls. It's described that the soul is 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. And try to picture how small that is. You know, we have these big bodies, but this is not who we are. We're very small. So, if we want to please God, we have to submit ourselves to Him. We have to do what we know is pleasing to Him. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes people demand to see God. But no, we have to be submissive. We have to do what we know is pleasing to God. Then He'll reveal Himself. Right? It's just like we can manipulate. Just like we have these microscopes. They could manipulate things. And you could play with them. Right? Or something, we can play with bugs or little things that are lower than us. But things that are higher than us, no. We can't manipulate. We can't go to the president and demand, I want to have lunch with you. I want to have a talk with you. And think there's big problems in this country. I want to have a talk with you. So you can't do that, right? Of course, it would be nice if we could. We can't do that because he's higher than us. So we can't demand to God also. He's higher than us. He's superior to us. But if we go out of our way to do things that are pleasing to Him, then He can reveal Himself to us. So the more that we hear about God, the more we become attracted to Him and we develop our love for Him. Now on the other hand, now this is, I mentioned how we have to learn to love ourselves. Now if we love ourselves, like I said, we'll do things which are pleasing to ourselves also. If we love God, we'll do things that are pleasing to God. If we love ourselves, we'll do things which we know are good for ourselves. So if we read Bhagavad Gita, if we associate with devotees, if we chant the names of God, we know this is good for us. Now, there's also things that are not good for us. There's so many things that are not good for us and that cause problems for us. It's like alcohol. There's so many alcoholics. It's not good for them. But they're drinking alcohol. They're doing things which are harmful to themselves. And this means that they're envious of their own self. Anybody that's doing harm to another, this means they're envious of them. If we're doing harm to ourselves, we're envious of ourselves. Sometimes people are so envious of themselves that they kill themselves. Right? So we want to get out of this material consciousness and develop this spiritual consciousness where we realize, where we understand that I'm the soul within, I'm part of God. And the best thing that I can do for myself And the best thing that I can do for God is to take up this spiritual life. And this is called confidential knowledge. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita purport. Srila Prabhupada says to, or he says this, or Krishna, he says this, Rajavidya Rajaguyam. This is the king of knowledge. So Prabhupada in the purport, he says that this spiritual knowledge is very confidential. So this is what we're hearing right now, is confidential knowledge. You won't hear this in any university. Srila Prabhupada was at one university, MIT, in Massachusetts. And he was speaking about the soul. And he was going on and on about the existence of the soul. And then he asked the students, where in this university can you take a course where you could understand this knowledge that I just told you about the soul? And after the class, many of the students went up to him and they thanked him so much. And they were lamenting that there was no course where they can understand anything about the soul. It's very unfortunate that there's no educational system throughout the world where you could learn about the soul, except for our Bhaktivedanta College. We also have other schools around the world where students can learn about the soul. More confidential than this spiritual knowledge, it's called more confidential, Prabhupada mentions in this purport, is where one becomes enlightened in spiritual life. So the result of taking up spiritual life, of hearing from the Bhagavad Gita, from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, from associating with devotees, as you become enlightened in spiritual life. You want to do things which are pleasing to Krishna, and you become very joyful. Generally, in the material world, if you become joyful, you need to get something, or you need to go somewhere, go to a party, or go to a movie, or drink some, to get some joy. But in spiritual life, all you need is the name of God and the words of God. And you could reach unlimited happiness. This is what we all want. Right? Everybody wants a happiness which is ever increasing. Right? Nobody wants a happiness which is eventually going to decrease. But that's all you experience in this world. You experience some level of pleasure, and then eventually it decreases, because it's material. And we're spiritual. So it's incompatible. Matter and spirit is incompatible. Therefore, there is no amount of material pleasure that will give satisfaction to the soul. But anything that we do in the service of Krishna, this gives pleasure to the soul. One devotee said that, just like they have these discotheques all over the world, and ballroom dances and things. So he said that when people are dancing in these places, the soul is crying. But when you dance for God, the soul is dancing. So we, devotees of Krishna, we like to dance for the pleasure of God. And I'm sure we're the only people on the planet that are dancing at 4:30 in the morning. Because that's what we do. For those of you who don't know, we get up very early. And we chant the names of God individually, and we call it mantra meditation, japa mala. And then we all gather here in the temple room at 4:30 in the morning, we're dancing. Actually, there may be others that are dancing at that time, but I'm sure they're intoxicated. We're the only ones that aren't intoxicated that are dancing at 4:30 in the morning. So this process is a very nice, happy, process. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So we don't need anything externally to be happy. Just hear the name of God and remember the message of God. Remember God, the personality, the Godhead, Krishna, and you'll get purified. You'll become very, very, very happy. What time is it now? So maybe I'll stop now if there's any questions that any of you may have. If not, we still have some time. Yes. Thank you. Good question. So the question he asked is, I mentioned that it would be very pleasing to God if we worship him. But there's other religions. Christian religion, Islam, Buddha. They're also worshiping God. So yes, this is also very good. This is one of the things that I was very attracted to when I first joined. Is that in this religion, Christian consciousness, we don't say this is the only way and everyone else is going to hell. No, anybody that is worshiping God is making progress. God is pleased. So, just like it said that in the Bible, give us this day our daily bread. So they're praying to God, please, give us bread. But in Christian consciousness, now that's very auspicious. They're approaching God and they're asking for bread. This is good. But in Christian consciousness, we have faith. We don't have to pray. We don't pray to God, please give us bread. Just like imagine if you have a father. You're a young boy and you have a father, and every day, you go to your father and you say, Father, will you feed me today? Please, will you give me bread today? Every day, you go to your father. Please, Father, will you feed me today? Now, eventually the father is going to think, I think there's something wrong with my child. Yeah. I mean, obviously the father is going to feed the child. So we don't need to pray to God for bread. What we pray to God for is service. And this is actually the meaning of this Hare Krishna mantra that we chant. We're praying to God, please help me, purify me, so that I can serve you in a way that is pleasing to you. So this is how we should pray, and this is how we should worship God. Try to engage in selfless service. It's very difficult to engage in selfless service. Because we're conditioned souls, and we've always acted from the very beginning when we were little children. And as soon as we found out we had a tongue, we were just putting everything in our mouth. Right? For those of you who have children, you know. Whatever they say, they want to satisfy their tongue. Yeah. Then we get older, and then we find out, oh, there's other senses also that I want to satisfy. So throughout our life, we're trying to satisfy this body, these senses. So it's difficult to get out of that. It's very difficult. And then we have our mind. The mind is pushing us here and pulling us there. And the Uddhava Gita, which is the continuation of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Durjyanam maham ma. He says, of difficult things to conquer, I am the mind. Very difficult to control the mind and to control the senses. But if we want to advance in life, then this is very necessary. Because we're not the mind, nor are we the senses. We're the soul within. So we have to control the mind, we have to control the senses, and act in a way which we know will be beneficial for the soul and pleasing to God. And I guarantee you that if you study very carefully the Bhagavad Gita and other books that we have, you'll be enlightened. And this confidential knowledge that I spoke about, it'll be revealed to you. Now, I spoke to you about the confidential knowledge, this spiritual knowledge, then more confidential knowledge, which means enlightenment in spiritual life. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, the most confidential knowledge, interesting, he says, is pure, unalloyed, devotional service to Krishna. This is the highest. This is the goal of the human form of life, is to reach this pure, unalloyed devotional service where my only interest is in pleasing God. So this gives you an idea of what the goal of the human form of life is, to be completely selfless, acting only for the pleasure of God. It's a difficult path, but it's the only real, substantial path that we can take. Either we can take this path, or we can take the path of sense gratification, just trying to satisfy this body, these senses. But it's a waste of time, because this is not who we are. Better give all the energy that we can in this path of trying to develop our love for God. And you know what the result of that will be? No more material body. Then when we leave this body, we go back to Krishna. In this regard, I'm going to give you a very nice example. In Miami, I lived there for about 12 years. There was a very nice couple, husband and wife. Very devotional. Unfortunately, the lady, she got cancer. And we were all very grief-stricken to hear this, all the devotees. So we would drive there to her house, and we would chant Hare Krishna to encourage her in her journey back home, back to Krishna. So we would go there quite a few times through the week. And then one day, it looked like she was going to leave soon. But we had to get back, it was late already, so we left. And that night, her husband was there next to her bed. And she said to her husband, "Do you see him?" And he said, "Do I see who?" And she said, "Krishna. He's standing right in front of me. And he's so beautiful." And her husband was like, you can imagine, his hairs were standing on end. And then she said to him, "He's calling me. You're my husband. Should I go? I must ask your permission." They said, "Yes, go, go, go." She closed her eyes, and a minute later she left her body. She went back home. So this is the goal. And it's possible for all of us. It's there, this love for Krishna, it's in our heart. It's possible. We just have to take seriously this process of Krishna consciousness. And certainly we'll go back home, back to Godhead. Is there maybe one more question? Yes, Ru. Oh, he's asking, he wants me to elaborate a little bit more. How can we be envious of ourselves? Well, everybody knows. I mean, it's all over the cigarette packages. This would be harmful to you if you smoke. Millions of people, tens of millions of people, knowingly, they're harming themselves. This is envious of themselves. And sometimes when I'm distributing books, I see people, they have cuts on their arm. I don't know if any of you had that, but they're doing it themselves. They cut themselves because they're suffering so much and they want to do something to help forget the pain that they're experiencing. So if we do things which are harmful to ourselves, then it's just envy of ourselves. Yeah. We should only do things which we know are good for ourselves. This means we love ourselves. Yeah. We all want to love ourselves, right? We all want to do what is best for ourselves. So we should find out what is best for ourselves and do that. Don't do things which are harmful for ourselves. Even to forget God, it's harmful. If you spend time, wasting valuable time watching television, that's harmful to the soul. This causes forgetfulness of God. It all these impressions go in your mind, and it makes it difficult to think of God. I saw one bumper sticker one time. Everyone should throw their TVs in the trash. And I was thinking, boy, wouldn't it be a better society if everybody did that, huh? Wouldn't it be? God, it'd be a so much better society because there's so much garbage in these televisions, yeah? And all these people that are making these television shows, these producers and directors, they're not thinking of our welfare. No, what are they thinking of? Money. Only money. They're not thinking of your good. No. And the heart becomes polluted. The mind becomes polluted. And now one person told me that television now, because pornography is such a big thing now in the internet, so they're competing. They're going as far as they can go without being illegal on television. Yeah. How women and men are dressing and interacting with one another. So it's not good. It's not good for the soul. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.